Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Sharp.
Let's break down a little Purdue hoops recruiting in the 2021 class, including where the Boilermakers might go with their second open spot. We'll talk more, too, about the potential for a footballless fall. That's coming up on Golden Black Radio. Kyle Charters here with Brian Newber. Tom Dienhart will come by here in just a couple of minutes. All right, Brian, let's get right into this. Talk a little bit of Purdue basketball recruiting. We'll try to talk some actual sports here during everything else that is going on. The Boilermakers have a spot to fill. It seems like they're in on some pretty good guys. I mean, is it too early to know? It probably is to know exactly where they go. But certainly, you know, Purdue off to a really good start in this class with Caleb Hurst.
Yeah, on paper, it's only a two scholarship class. But I think in reality, the last couple classes, Purdue has shown a willingness to oversign by one. Yeah. And if there's any attrition, to which I've always pointed out that Purdue's overdue. For attrition by typical college basketball statistical standards. It wouldn't surprise me at all. In fact, it would surprise me if this class doesn't find a way to get to three. So obviously Caleb Hurst is one, and then likely probably two more if I had to guess. Obviously Caleb Hurst was a hell of a start to the class, one of Purdue's obviously foremost priorities. And then this is a situation where Purdue, again, has been in on a slew of really, really good players for a really, really long time, has put themselves in a really good position relative to the competition level with a lot of really, really high-end guys. So this may be a small class, but this may be, you know, kind of the ultimate quality over quantity sort of class here when all is said and done. I mean, I think people who follow recruiting know all the names by now: Harrison Ingram, Max Christie, Trey Kaufman, Blake Wesley, all of those guys on down. If Purdue can get one more of those A-list guys, that in itself, along with Caleb Hurst, would make this a hell of a class.
Yeah, I mean, if there was any class where you maybe wanted more than just two spots available, and not that you want to run guys off, but as you said, those things at times happen, and maybe Purdue is a little bit overdue for something like that to happen, there is reason to think that it wouldn't be a bad deal to have at least three spots in this class. You know, with first being a forward, Purdue still wants to go get another, at least one more forward center, right? Whether that's Trey Kaufman or Harrison Ingram or whoever, right? I mean, that's the other priority. What would that third spot be?
Well, I think that, you know, Purdue doesn't necessarily look at things that way. I know it's easy for us on the outside to say, well, you have this, so you need this. I think he has always just taken the best players he can get and figured it out from there. Now, obviously you don't want to overload positions. You don't want to recruit redundancy. You always want to have a good balanced roster, but I think that people always look at it like, well, if you got this guy, this eliminates this guy. I don't know if that's necessarily always reality. Yeah. Now, this guy may limit your chances to get the other guy, but I don't necessarily think it's a deal breaker. To me, I think Purdue obviously would like to get Trey Kaufman, would like to get Harrison Ingram still as another piece in the front court, although Harrison Ingram is sort of like a hybrid guard forward who can play all over the place. So calling him front court help might not necessarily be accurate to the letter of his game. But I think Purdue, personally, if you're asking me, I think Purdue needs to continue to get as much shooting as it can, because that has taken Purdue a long way the last couple of years, whether that's a Max Christie. Obviously, you know, that's a pretty high-end ask right there. Hey, let's throw in Max Christie, the five-star guy with the Duke offer. It wouldn't surprise me either if Purdue still went on Luke Goody in Fort Wayne. I think he's the sort of shooter that fits Purdue's profile. He doesn't have a Purdue offer yet, simply because of a low number of scholarships, but if Purdue does push this class to three, wouldn't surprise me at all if Purdue still did something with him. If not, maybe it still could go out in June or July, if there is a June or July, and look for another shooter. But also Blake Wesley, to his athleticism in the backcourt, in conjunction with Purdue, what Purdue has coming in its backcourt, could give Purdue something it really hasn't had a whole lot of over the years in terms of a really dynamic backcourt athletically. So where Purdue goes from there, if it's fortunate enough to land one of these other high-end frontcourt guys, which is still a big ask in itself, because you're talking about some really highly recruited players here, that kind of remains to be seen, but it would have a lot of good options and still a whole summer to play out too, a whole fall to play out looking for guys as well.
Yeah, who knows exactly how that looks, that it plays out. Who, you know, a lot of the guys that Purdue is in on, you know, the Kaufmans, the Ingrams, and all the rest, don't seem to be highly affected by the shutdown. They have a lot of offers. They have a lot of options. They visited a lot of places already. Who are the guys in particular who might be more affected by, you know, the idea of not being able to take visits right now, perhaps not being able to play at least in the same form a bunch of AAU basketball this summer? I mean, are there guys that are on Purdue's radar like that, or are there others who you think are particularly affected?
I don't know if it necessarily affects Purdue guys as much, because the guys Purdue is in on have been highly recruited for a very long period of time.
Yeah.
Now, if there was a guy out there who, you know, was just kind of making a name for himself that Purdue was sort of interested in, at this point, this would probably keep Purdue from getting that springtime look at him that might have pushed them into making that player a priority going into the summer. I'm trying to think of past precedent on a player in that sort of situation, but none's coming to mind right now. Purdue's recruiting has obviously gone to a little bit of a different level here, to where Purdue is in on these really high-level players now. So those under-the-radar guys right now, if there were going to be any, they haven't necessarily surfaced yet. It could impact them in 2022 and beyond, obviously, with the younger guys, because you would be watching those players as well right now. That's probably the least of everyone's concerns right now. But I don't think Purdue is necessarily involved in the graduate transfer market this year. I don't think they're in the junior college market. Those are the two markets where, you know, things are going to get a little bit unconventional this year. Not that they're not always unconventional, because this is kind of their hot time of year. Not being able to take visits, and in the junior college player's case, not being able to play their big tournament in the spring is, you know, going to be a little bit of a complication for those guys. But in terms of Purdue, like in terms of guys that they haven't offered yet for 2021 that they might offer, if Purdue doesn't know everything it needs to know right now about Luke Goody, then it's been watching him for 3 years with its eyes closed. So it's not like there's that guy out there who's right on the cusp, who Purdue needed to see this spring to make a decision on. You know, Travion Williams was a good example of a guy they saw in the spring and were convinced by, and they actually got in on him relatively late. I think when you're looking at a two scholarship class, probably a three scholarship class, but you're in on all of your A-list guys when they're sophomores and you've ridden them all out to this point and you've already gotten one of them, I don't necessarily know if you were going into spring looking for new guys or you were just babysitting the guys that you've been recruiting all along anyway. So I don't know if it really affects Purdue all that much. If anything, it could theoretically help, because if it had been sitting right there for a year and a half on most of them.
Right. All right, let's change subjects here quickly. Talk a little bit of athletic department news. And, you know, the biggest one from last week, I think, is that Purdue's deputy athletic director, Jason Biedekofer, is leaving to go take a similar job at Washington. You know, he's had a big impact in, 3 years at Purdue with sort of reshaping the athletic department. What do you think about his loss and sort of, you know, how Purdue goes to fill that void?
Yeah, I don't know if people realize this was kind of the guy on the ground. This was kind of the day-to-day, hands-on sort of presence around the athletic department, who was shaping a lot of policy, making a lot of changes, bringing in a lot of people. It's always a little bit what word should I use here? It's, I don't want to say necessarily unfortunate, but it's kind of part of the business where somebody can come in, make a ton of changes, and then not necessarily be around for those changes to prove whether that they were good changes or not. That's kind of where kind of Purdue is with this now. Obviously, they will have to bring in somebody else for that job, presumably. And then whether or not that person comes in with a different philosophy or not, I'd imagine they will probably look for a certain measure of synergy between what Jason Biedekofer, what kind of directions he took the athletic department in, and what kind of directions Mike Babinski obviously wants the department going from here. Whether or not those two things line up kind of remains to be seen, but it is a pretty significant changeover, because this was a very decisive sort of situation where a lot of changes were made, a lot of people were brought in, a lot of people were kind of moved out in some cases, and we will kind of see what sort of results those changes bear, and what the new direction or the new person who comes in, what sort of direction they want to take this in, whether there's any sort of awkwardness in terms of what's coming next relative to what came before, which is obviously a very significant changeover. It's kind of hard to say how much this has hurt Purdue, because you don't really know all that much. It's an administrative position. You don't know what was going to come of a lot of what they have done behind the scenes in the athletic department over the years, but obviously it is a very significant position, a very influential position, and one that wasn't filled very long. So we'll kind of see where things go from here, I guess. That's the best I can tell you.
Yeah, we will, and certainly somebody who's had an impact. They will fill his spot, you would think, but you talked to Mike Babinski a little bit last week. I mean, there's still the prospect of, and this is happening to a lot of people all over the country, unfortunately, but the prospect of layoffs within the athletic department for an athletic department which has done a lot of hiring over the last year or two. I mean, without sports and potentially without an end in sight for this shutdown, that's a little bit concerning for those who work in the athletic department, right?
Yeah, I'm sure it is. But, I think the NCAA tournament money being significantly reduced obviously hurts. I don't know if that changes the way you operate necessarily. I don't know if that mandates you incurring salary reductions, laying off staff, suspending sports, whatever it may be. Now, if football season's affected, that's where everything kind of hits the fan for college sports. This could end up being sort of an organic market correction for college sports. Obviously, spending has gotten a little bit crazy in college sports the last few years, college football specifically. You do kind of wonder if this is sort of that moment in time where everything, the bubble kind of burst. But in terms of simply the NCAA tournament revenue going from the $600 million distribution to $225, if I'm understanding Purdue's financials correctly, which I cannot necessarily say that I am, I don't know if that singularly is something that automatically changes things for Purdue in a really, really adverse manner. But if anything happens to football season, obviously then you start to a lot of sirens start going off financially. Obviously, Purdue has invested fully in football the last 3 years. I don't know where they are from a reserves perspective, but I don't think it's very rich, shall we say. I know that they're not really in any position to take on a lot of additional debt, if any. But they have spent a lot of money to make a lot of money, and now is the time where you're supposed to be making a lot of money for all the money you've spent, and now obviously there's lots of questions here. So Purdue, I don't think Purdue's in any significantly any worse a shape than a lot of people are, because this is an issue for everyone in the country right now. But I do think maybe Purdue has a little bit more exposure than a lot of other people just because of how aggressive they've been with their money the last few years.
Yeah, I would agree with that. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Tom Dienhardt a little bit about that football season and the prospect for it being played at all, maybe played late, perhaps played early. We'll do that next. Thanks, Brian.
No problem, Kyle. Thanks.
That's coming up on Gold and Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Brahms squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day. Sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there, too, with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
And the 6th Street Dive, of course, offering carryout options right now during our shutdown as well. All right, Kyle Charters here, Tom Deanhart. Tom, Kirk Herbstreit made a little bit of news this week with sort of publicly putting into words what others of us without maybe quite the same audience have said as well, and that's the prospect of football not being played in the fall. And I know we talked about it a little bit last week too, but when you start talking about it in big circles and when college football coaches themselves are talking about it, I think it really brings the possibility to light, doesn't it?
Yeah, like you said, an individual with a heft and an audience that a Kirk Herbstreit has, for him to go public with those thoughts, like you said, sort of makes you sit up more straight in your chair and think to yourself, wow, you know, this really could be a possibility. I mean, we've all rolled that around in our heads, right, Kyle? Could this extend into the fall? Could football be affected? So, yeah, you know, I think everybody has to, you know, hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. I got a chance to speak to Rock Spack, of course, the old Purdue linebacker, DC, this week, head coach of Illinois State, talked to Jerry DiNardo last week, too, of the Big Ten. Now, we're trying to pick their minds on, you know, for Brock's case, how you still coach your team now. And for Jerry, you know, talk to him about some of the bigger picture items, Kyle. One of those being, could we have a season? Jerry thought it was still too early to tell. Late last Friday, Kyle, you probably saw the Big Ten sent out that memo. They've suspended all organized team activities till May 6th now. So we've kicked that can down the road further. So, again, everything's on the table. Maybe we have games with no fans. Maybe we don't start the season until October, cancel non-conference games. Who knows? You dream it up, Kyle. It could be a possibility.
I saw the possibility of playing in July floated. I just – with the thought being that maybe the virus doesn't spread as much in warmer weather, I don't know that that's necessarily, you know, scientific or maybe just people hoping. The idea maybe of playing football in the spring, I don't know if that's really feasible either. I mean, we have to know more, but, man, it would be – it's hard. We can sit here now and be, what, how many weeks are we into this? 3 weeks into this? And
yeah, about three,
We're sort of – we're sort of still in that that period where we're all just sort of accepting this as the temporary reality. I don't know how much do things change if we're still doing this in the fall without sports and without that, you know, mental maybe release and having society be back at a somewhat reasonable point of view. I just think that's really difficult to even fathom, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what life is like in the fall if we're still doing this.
You think the economic impact is bad now? I'm not just thinking selfishly from a football standpoint, but then imagine a Christmas season, or that being, you know, adversely truncated or impacted. I mean, you've thought about other industries, myself, like the auto industry, on and on it goes. Trickle down effect across the board from all these different industries. This economy has to come not to a halt, but almost to a halt, I guess, a screeching halt. So again, athletically, I was listening to you and Brian. I mean, football is the train that drives all of these athletic departments. And if that doesn't come off, then the belt tightening and the financial situations in a lot of those departments is going to get very interesting. So, I don't know where this is all going, but, you know, I guess we all have to pray for everybody's health and that we can get through this thing on a lot of different levels.
I know you've talked to Brock Spack, as you mentioned, and others about sort of how teams, coaches stay in contact with players. How is that going, that, you know, you've got players scattered all over the country now, back in their hometowns, most likely, though maybe some still are around campus. You've got gyms closed all over the place. I mean, a lot of ours here locally are closed, if not all of them. I know my wife is not super happy about that. Just how are coaches and players staying in contact through this time, and players being able to stay in shape during this time?
Yeah, Brock, you know, Brock says they've got that app. I'm sure you've heard about it. Listeners have heard about it, called Zoom, where they still have their individual coaching meetings. You know, the running backs coaching, you can get all his running backs together on the Zoom app and they can communicate and go over things. He says they're still installing their offense, moving forward, just doing it again through a quote-unquote distance learning, you know, like kids going to college. So they're doing it through their technology on their iPads and their phones to communicate through Zoom. You know, as far as weight training goes, you're right. Brock and others said it really varies from person to person, what type they have at home, what they have access to. Some guys are left with rudimentary stuff like plyometrics or calisthenics. Some other guys may have a decent weight set at home. So, again, that can really vary, too. But, you know, long story short, as Brock made, I guess maybe it's an obvious point, but teams that are veteran teams, teams that don't have a lot of new coaches, teams with some maturity are the ones that can probably come out of this thing best prepared than those trying to break in a new coach, trying to install a new offense or a defense, or just a team that's relatively young.
Purdue needs a new strength coach. Without players on campus right now, it's probably not the biggest priority, right? But it will become so at some point.
Yeah, they've still got two Justin Lovett's assistants there, and I'm sure they're carrying on with his program remotely with these guys. And you're right, I don't know about Purdue. Maybe, I'm sure there's probably a hiring freeze. But maybe they're still sifting through candidates, trying to identify somebody, and then bring that person in as soon as they can. You know, just talking to Justin when he was leaving to go to the Rams, he said, you know, this new person can't really come in and totally change everything he's been doing right away. He says these programs have to be sort of baby stepped in, gradually stepped in, because guys have gotten used to training a certain way under his program. And who knows, again, this next person could have a different philosophy. So, again, whoever that somebody is, whoever they bring in, it sounds like it's going to have to be a gradual process to introduce their program, you know, when it's all said and done.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Tom. As always, stay safe out there.
You too, Cal. Be good, buddy.
Be sure to visit goldandblack.com for much more. Let's take a break. We'll come back with a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that here in just a moment. The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, sell, upsize, downsize, anything else, give me a call, 765-412-5217. You can email me also, Kyle@chartersteam.com.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chops, salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. Available for takeout, either family style or a la carte, right now. Whatever your entertainment needs are, cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics. Visit GoldenBlack.com for much more Purdue basketball recruiting, the football offseason, as odd as it is right now. Be sure to log on the site. Also, look for Brian's blogs, Golden Black Radio Express, and we'll be back, of course, next Monday with our next podcast as well. All right, thanks to our sponsors, as always. Be sure to visit them, of course. Those include Homefield Apparel, East End Grill, First Source Bank, Charters Team, and Remax Ability Plus. Follett's, the 6th Street Dive, Purdue Federal Credit Union. For Brian Ubert and Tom Deanhart, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.